Get ready for a truly groundbreaking episode today where I get to interview the founder of Rapid Resolution Therapy, Dr. John Connolly. And in this episode, Dr. John shares the perspectives of RRT and how it can revolutionize and optimize mental health and well-being, and how it does this through clearing negative beliefs, habits, painful emotions, past traumas, and all through multi-level communication with the conscious and the subconscious mind. So in this episode, you're going to get some of that perspective. And also John walks me through a live facilitation session with myself around fears around money and taking care of my daughters. It's phenomenal. So not only do you get to learn about the technique of RRT, but also see it in action. And Dr. John actually developed RRT after his early work as a therapist and child protective service worker and supervisor in a program for traumatized teens. And then it led to this whole body of work. He's also the visionary behind the Institute for Survivors of Sexual Violence, which is a nonprofit with advanced treatments for trauma survivors. He's just phenomenal. Enjoy the show. When you click in the show notes too, you can find a way to find out more about RRT. And there's also a 25% off coupon code for his next training in RRT that is open to all. So enjoy the show and let me know if you have any questions. DM me. I'd love to hear how your world has changed and happy to respond about anything about RRT as well. Enjoy. Welcome to the Shift Your Vibe to Thrive podcast. My name is Emily Evans Russell, and I'm a single mom, multiple six-figure business owner, and master mindset and energy coach. I created this podcast with two main targets. One, to give you practical tools so that no matter where you are in your life right now, you not only know that things can shift, but you know how to make them greater. And two, to change your frequency so that you become an energetic match for everything you desire. I'm talking your relationships, your finances, your success, all of it. Think of this podcast as your weekly energetic upgrade with a mix of subconscious mind hacks, ways to quantum leap, and consciousness shifts. A place where you learn to sculpt your reality and actually finally truly have the magical life you deserve and one that works for uniquely you. Are you ready to uplevel your reality? I think I hear yes, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Thank you so much for being here. And now let's go to the show. So, John, thank you for being here with me today.
Oh, it's just amazing to have a chance to do this together, right?
And we get to do it in person, which I'm excited about. So people listening will hear the audio, but I'll make the video available too, so they can watch kind of the magic visually as well.
Well, how wonderful.
So we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today. You're the founder of Rapid Resolution Therapy, which has a lot of really game-changing perspective shifts. So do we just want to dive in and you shift one for me and we kind of work with something? Because I have lots of other things I could ask you and you could talk about, but we could also just kind of jump into...
Whatever would work, but if people don't have any foundation or understanding of this at all, it might be interesting to get some kind of perspective that would be shared.
Yeah. When I first discovered your work, you know, I was a biology teacher. So I was really grateful to hear you talk about the way our mind works and that we have these sort of two different parts of our mind and how they don't really communicate with each other, which can cause a lot of the problems that we think that we're dealing with, whether it be anxiety or thoughts, feelings, sensations in the body. Do you want to talk a little bit about
that? I don't think the communication it generally works very well, but sure. Our human minds, of course, you know, are much more advanced than any other life form. Zebras didn't build London. Camels don't build airplanes. Only humans can do these things. As our mind became more advanced, it had to continue doing the things it was doing before becoming advanced. For instance, all the things that are being done by the mind of a zebra, which would include closing circulation, respiration, digestion, all these bodily things going on, which are then through zebra's mind regulated and adapting to what zebra's doing. So it's working differently after zebra just ate than before he ate. It's working differently when he's running fast than when he's asleep. So zebra's mind has to be monitoring and causing those things to be regulated, the control center, if you will, for zebra. So it affects zebra's heart, yeah, zebra's legs, yes, but it's not coming from zebra's heart. Zebra's heart isn't the control center. Zebra's legs, not the control center. Zebra's mind, the control center. So zebra's mind is affecting what's going on within zebra's legs, within zebra's heart. And so that works really well for zebras, works okay for humans. But as human mind then became significantly more advanced, it couldn't stop doing those things to learn new things. So it couldn't be, well, I'm not going to bother with circulation today because today's my day to learn algebra. So the way I understand what happened is more advanced component did get built, but it didn't get fully integrated so that these facets of mind sort of are functioning like outside of each other. It's not fully integrated into one thing. And I find people are likely to identify with the more advanced component of mind. Generally, they use the word I to refer to that component. I feel sleepy, or I would like to calm down. And then the word that they use to reference the rest of the mind is the word self. So you hear people say things like, I need to motivate myself. I would like to get myself started. Things like that. I don't think any other life form has that experience or goes through that. I don't think a bird wants to be on a different branch, thinks about motivating herself in order to get herself started. I think she probably just flies over there. But humans have this extra thing and it hasn't integrated. So we're certainly running more advanced software, if you will, than a turtle or a sheep. But I believe we're operating on what we could think of as the beta version of this new software. And when they say, would you like to have the beta for this app? Beta will give a number of advanced advantages, but they tell you it's likely to be problematic and things will go wrong. And certainly the way our minds are currently more advanced, yes, but are things going wrong? Oh my goodness, yes, so much. So I think that there are problems with mind adapting to other facets of mind, and then the whole thing adapting to what's going on within the body. Our bodies are built very well, but they're built for completely different situations. They're built to live in a jungle, not to live in civilization. So, out of the box, the whole mechanism, I don't think works well. But I think if we get it out of the box and it can be adjusted, it can be tweaked to be much more effective than it is naturally. I think as much as we tweak it, it probably won't operate as effectively as the mind of a wolf or even the mind of a cow.
And say more about that. How does, yeah.
Well, that's not running the beta version. Those life forms, mind body integrated, body is set for the situations they find themselves in. Mind doesn't have all these extra newfangled and yet unintegrated components. So
Yeah.
it just seems to work.
Like in the example, when a zebra gets chased by a lion and they have a system that turns on and turns right back off. And a lot of the work with rapid resolution is around trauma because humans don't seem to shake off that as easily as a zebra does. Can you talk about that being like there's a beta version that doesn't work well?
So have you taken a shower like this week?
Yeah, I took one this morning.
So I bet you can remember what you were hearing
Yeah.
and what you were seeing
Yep.
and what you were feeling like on your skin where the water hit the skin.
Yep.
So you can really vividly, that's a very vivid recollection of your shower, yes?
Yeah.
And are you confused at all, about whether or not you're in the shower at the moment?
No, I definitely know I'm not in the shower.
So that's fine. Great memory of it. The mind is working fine. You can vividly recall it, and yet there's no sense that it's going on.
Right.
Yet, if somebody has gone through a very disturbing experience, some kind of battlefield horror, the data, the info is likely to not process through like the info about your shower.
Right.
And so if you say to your friend, hey, tell me about the horrific thing that happened to you in the service. Tell me about having been sexually assaulted. What was that like? She might say, I don't want to talk about these things. In fact, it's upsetting that you bring them up. You say, well, why? They're interesting things. We should talk about them, don't you think? And she might say, no, I don't like how I feel. And when I think about them, and why would she feel anything while thinking about them? Because the data hasn't processed thoroughly through, and her mind isn't reading the event the same way your mind was reading the shower. It wasn't reading that this thing, this is a recording of something that had been rather than something that is happening. So if we speak to somebody about something troubling and that person is troubled in the recollection, that would mean to me it hasn't been effectively processed, which in my world that we call normal. However, we don't call it wonderful. So we can get things to go way better than normal into wonderful, so that somebody could describe an experience that was horrific without feeling any of it. Because the feeling of it, we think of it as natural. It's natural that I would be upset while talking about an upsetting thing. But what's functional about that? Natural, normal happens to lots of folks, but it's not useful and it's not necessary. Because we can get things clear. And as we do, the energy that was stuck in that thing, like if you're thinking about something and you feel anger, or you feel fear, or you feel shame, that's energy.
Yeah.
And that energy isn't doing any good there, but we can harvest that energy and bring it to something that would be rewarding, like we can harness the energy and redirect it toward causing the body to grow healthier and stronger so we can increase healing or anything else, like we can increase people's ability to retain information or be creative or be sensual or whatever would make life like more of a party. And that's what I'm aiming to do is get it so that people's lives are more like a party. You know, I mean the kind that you're glad you went to a party, and get the things causing dysfunction out of the way. Get them back to
Yeah.
being functional.
And I like how you describe that because it's like getting that data to go through processing, kind of like closing those open windows on your computer that pull energy, even if you're not aware they're pulling energy, so we can use them to move forward.
It's normal to have things that, if we were to think about them, that we kind of know are continuing to have a negative effect, but there are likely to be tons of things we don't even consciously have any awareness of, but they are still functioning in a way that's draining energy and causing people to be not as healthy as they would have been and not having as much pleasure as they would have been. So the process, rapid resolution, pinpoints and clears the troubling effect from prior experiences, even if there's no conscious recollection that they ever happened, and often without even bringing them to conscious awareness. So it's unconsciously causing a troubling effect, and then it's no longer causing that effect, and the energy that was stuck is harnessed and it improves his health. But he doesn't even know what that was about. There's no conscious recollection necessary to cause that. So sometimes we are addressing issues that people do consciously recall, but we can even address issues that people don't consciously recall. So, for instance, if somebody is looking to cause a shift, change, or improvement in the way she feels or thinks or acts or reacts or interacts, it's possible to pinpoint and clear things that were hampering that success, even if she has no conscious knowledge that they exist, and to pinpoint and clear them without unnecessary pain or suffering,
Yeah.
and without taking a long time, so that somebody can begin to feel remarkably better and do remarkably better. And often people are meeting with us because they'd like to get from suffering to normal, but people are also meeting with us because they'd like to get from way above normal, even further above.
Yeah.
So I might meet with a professional athlete who's already top but wants to be better, or professional fiction writer, or actor or scientist or whatever. So some people are looking to finally catch up and be, get closer to average, but we don't stop at average. Even if somebody's been very troubled, it gets much, much better than average. And some people come in already much, 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 much better than average, but are looking for that extra edge. And this process is so rewarding in that it's consistently getting that done and causing that shift to take place for people.
Okay, so can I give you, this would be something I have a thought that I've been consciously having, so I'm aware of it. That's using up, it's not been useful to have and
Sure,
toddling a state of.
what's been going on?
So I keep having the thought that I have two young girls. Well, they're not that young anymore. And I'm a single mom and I've shifted and I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm solely responsible for bringing in money for them and their schooling, which we're doing private schooling. And I've been able to do that. But now I have this fear come up that, but what if I can't? Like things I've shifted a bit in my business and the income streams, and I'm worried that, oh my God, what if things go wrong and I'm not able to provide for them and I can't, send them to the school they want to, and I can't, and then I kind of go down a worst case scenario.
So, Emily, for 3 or 4 seconds, purposely trigger that. Good, and we're done with that. So, what happened is you consciously caused your unconscious to interface with certain data that caused a certain feeling. But the feeling has been coming on its own. So, the fear that you described is absolutely normal. And by normal, what I mean is in the situation you described, the vast majority of people in that situation would be experiencing the kind of feeling you described, or perhaps even more disturbing than that.
Yeah, I mean, even just talking with you about it, my heart's kind of racing and I almost have tears coming up, which I don't normally have when it kind of passes through my head.
So it's hot, it's charged, and it's normal to have that feeling. I mean, you're a mom, you care about your kids, and you feel a responsibility, and there's been some fear around fulfilling that future, although you're fulfilling it currently and previously. So, yes, that's normal. And that emotion is fear. So fear is an emotional and physiological response to perceived threat. And it's designed to cause it to be that when a zebra experiences fear, she becomes much faster. It makes her strong, alert, motivated, focused. So, in situations that would disturb a zebra, for instance, a predator approaching, all of those things are just super helpful. And for zebra, it turns on instantly as it's useful, but snaps off as soon as it's not like a turbo in an automobile. So, yes, it's natural to experience those feelings. But here's what happens when, and don't even think of you, please think of another person. Listen to this through your biology teacher ears. So when this guy became afraid because he is a math teacher and he really likes the job he has, but there's a person who's going to come in, make an observation, and rate his performance. And he sees that as this could end up being problematic. So he's afraid. If somebody is afraid of that, we wouldn't think that was unusual. So if he said, I just found out they're coming in and observing me. A committee is going to be observing me and rating whether or not I can continue this job that I love. And I've been nervous about it. You wouldn't be thinking, well, that's weird. Why would you be nervous? We'd think it would be weird if he wasn't. So we understand that fear as natural, and it makes sense. But here's what happens. When fear happens, one's legs and arms get stronger. All kinds of things go on within the body, circulation, digestion, respiration, causing that extra power. You are then stronger, and the strength is designed to enable you to run faster for a short period of time. That's all that it's useful for. But as that goes up, the ability to run faster, which doesn't have value in the situation you're describing, other things go down as that strength goes up. What goes down is the ability to recall information, the ability to sequence that information. So if you think about yesterday morning, you can recall some things you did, and now you can recall them in order. You did that one first, but that one after or before, and you know which. When fear is up, those abilities go down. The ability to your body going through the process of healing, maintenance and repair goes way down. Your ability to be logical and rational, one's ability to be logical and rational when there's fear, goes way down. The ability to be creative goes way down. The ability to see solutions goes way down. The ability to seize an opportunity goes way down. The ability to be persuasive goes way down. The ability to be sensual goes way down. So I can't imagine a situation in which those things going way down would serve you, Emily. And as we're thinking about, okay, as an entrepreneur, what can you do with your skill, your creativity, your charisma that will open other doors, other income streams, other possibilities? You have so much innate talent on this. Unlock, unblock, and fuel it to serve you. That's what we would like, but when there's fear, it all goes in the opposite direction. And you know what that is? That's normal.
Normal, and that does not work well.
Normal.
I would like all those other things.
Yeah, normal, but certainly doesn't serve you. So as we think then about the fear that you were able to identify just moments ago, you get it that it's normal. There's nothing wrong with you because that has been experienced at all. However, I like you better abnormal. I like you better where you have more creativity, more ingenuity, more passion, more humor, more ability to see solutions, more of an ability to create and something that would be quite viable, useful, and build it and have it happen, more ability to navigate. So I like all of that for you. All that goes up as the fear goes down.
Yeah,
Sound
that
okay?
sounds real good.
So I'm seeing you where that's just not showing up. So let's say this gal is playing ping pong. Did you ever play ping pong? And let's say she's playing ping pong and the stakes have become very high in that she will, if she wins this game, be rewarded with tremendous wealth, just tremendous wealth. And if not, then she'll lose her home and car. So there's high stakes ping pong. And if we watch her playing at her best, notice the ball's coming to her and how her paddle hits it, directing it to just where her opponent would not be happy to see it hit. Okay. And as she's doing that, she is all about doing that. There's no thought about how we would find housing. She's immersed in this game and will win the game because she's only about the game and fully focused there. So the fear would not make her a better player. And so that disappears, and she is victorious in her pursuit. So the fear that you experienced, so understandable, so natural, and utterly worse than useless. Are you okay with it disappearing? Then it won't be there, and instead, you'll look at this thing with, well, I could do this, but I could also do that, and it would be even more fun to do this. And what an adventure. So it becomes like this amazing adventure amusement park. We go here, or we go here, we get the snack first to do on this, and then do that. And it's like life is like that, and fun and opportunity and potential. And hence, with that, you see these opportunities, seize them. And hence, your endeavors become still more rewarding, still more lucrative. So that's what I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you to be no more preoccupied with any of that stuff than this gal is while playing ping pong. The only thing on her mind is hitting the freaking ball. And that's what's on your mind, hitting the ball, hitting it out of the park. Creating a stream of possibility and income and reward and fun that is just so satisfying and enlivening and works for your mission. That's what I'm looking toward for you. Does it sound okay?
Yeah, it sounds better than okay.
So we have the same purpose and vision. That's huge. Now our energy is coming together and will be fueling that mission. So we're on the way to that. The fear that you described may have kind of a structure to it that's not immediately visible. The structure that would cause an emotion and sensation within the body of fear in this situation can't be based on clarity. So it definitely was based on a lack of clarity, meaning on, let's say, distortion. Distortion lives well in shadow and yet not well in light. So as we light up where there had been distortion, the distortion can't survive. So little girl screams, and daddy comes running in and says, "What's the matter?" And she says, "Daddy, there's a monster right there in my closet." And daddy says, "Really? I'm glad I brought my monster buster." And he pulls the flashlight out of his pocket and he shines it into the closet and he says, "Let's see you, you monster." And the little girl screams now with laughter and says, "Daddy, it's my bathrobe." And daddy says, "Yes, because the light destroyed the distortion that made the monster seem to appear." We do the same thing. We just add light, clarity. This is what is. And we can take apart the structure of where the distortion was hidden. And I'd like to do that with you. Does that sound okay? then what there is for you to do in a moment, I'll ask you to purposely feel that feeling like you did before, but I'll ask you to feel the feeling and this time to kind of lean into it so that you experience it as big as it seems to want to be. As you're doing that, you'll have things come to mind. It might be a memory that comes to mind, or it might be a belief that comes to mind. When either come to mind, nod. I'll say, "What's that?" If it's the memory, you'll just say the age, 12 years old. If it's a belief, you'll just state the belief. That's too good for me, or whatever belief would show up. Does it sound okay? Okay. And I'm right here with you doing it, and you'll certainly be knowing that all through. And this is where we are, and where we are is pretty neat because here you and I are connecting with each other in a way that's positive and respectful and fun on a project we both care about, your success, your children's well-being, and your own. I'm fully into that. You are. This is a pretty good place to be where we creatively create or get this going together. This is what is going on. Everything else was on the way to this, but sometimes the data doesn't get there where the shower is. Let's see what happens. So I'll ask you to close your eyes for a few moments, and then with eyes closed, to again cause that sense of fear. You've got it already, and it was significant. You even felt teary, and you could feel stuff happening in your body. And as you just lean into this, you know how to get away from it. But for right now, maybe don't get away from it. Let's get into it. Let's take it apart. Let's see what it is. If you notice a memory or a belief, you nod for me. Take your time. There's no hurry on this at all.
Something like I just see my dad, but I don't see me there yet.
Well, take your time and notice the feeling that comes with seeing your dad. And I would say, how old do you feel there?
Pretty little, maybe like four.
And little all by yourself, or there's somebody else with you?
Feels like all by myself, like I'm worried about him.
All by yourself indoors, all by yourself in the kitchen, the living room, your bedroom, the basement.
Be like a living area.
And all by yourself there in the living area. And just continue to just lean into that, Emily. In other words, don't try to extract the information. Just be willing to feel the feeling for a little while.
What comes up is I'm kind of having fun playing. And I have this sense of like, he's so sweet and kind. And I want to make sure he's not hurt, even though it doesn't seem like anything around is a threat. But
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And you can sense that. And there's some significant feeling with that. So let's go to just a little later where you again see him. And is he all right? Okay, beautiful. And you know that.
We're out for a jog. We used to go running together when I was across
Yes, so
country.
you guys are running together, doing that, and then you recall while you're running, having been worried about him earlier, and he's running right next to you, and it causes you to realize, wow, he's absolutely fine. There was nothing, there was no real threat there. And then, as you realize that while running, you think back to that earlier time with that deep worry. But as you think back to that earlier time with the deep worry, you see Dad running. And he's fine.
Can I say what comes up now?
Please.
Because that one, he's fine. He just a few weeks ago got diagnosed with AFib with his heart. So he's been having some stuff with that. That's what came to mind.
Yes. Yes. So this, what we're going to stay with and complete this one first. So as we look back to the little girl that's worried that there's going to be this issue with Dad, and now she gets it that no, there absolutely isn't. He's going to be jogging with me. And with that, that energy is no longer trapped, and you are no longer trapped. And you can think back now, but that energy now flowing through you in a way that's going to fuel even more creativity and ability and health and financial ability, and all that is being fueled here. Nice. And then you can open your eyes again. Yeah, you're such a loving person, and I get the concern about Dad and how valuable you are for him through this stuff. So it's natural to be emotional, right? But at this moment, is the emotion serving your father? It's about him, so it's for him. Right? So we want this for him and feel the emotion and let's see what it does for
Much.
him. Okay, well, let's feel it a little bigger then. See if that puts him in a better mood.
There's a lot of caring there.
Yes, you have a lot of caring. He has a lot of caring. There's that. Yes. The caring doesn't hurt. Caring's lovely. The hurt has been other stuff. For instance, fear. It's normal to have that feeling. You're lovely. He's your dad and you love him. It's absolutely normal. How is it working out for him?
That's interesting. I
Is
think
he thriving due to your fear?
no.
In fact, don't you even do better with him without it? Because you're more creative and more ability to just jump in and connect and lift and those things. So that fear has been understandable, but really hasn't been useful, and it's all right. I'm seeing you where that's just not playing. And you're just doing amazing things for your children, for your father, for your business, for the world effectively. Yeah, you're there and you're, gosh, such a weird image. I thought of two things simultaneously, almost to make your head hurt. I thought of you're strong like a rock and so flexible. And then I'm watching this rock, powerful thing, but it like wiggles around and can fit into things like water. So it's pretty cool. And that's where I'm seeing this thing going for you. And that's really what, let's do this one for him. That's what he'd like. He'd like you absolutely fine because that's best for him personally and you and your kids, and what's best for them is best for him.
Yeah.
So he's all for that. Doesn't that sound okay?
Yeah.
So it's what I'm intending. You're okay with it. Dad's energy has found its way right to this thing. So all of these things are coming together. In a moment, I'll do something that will just cause your mind, which is taking in stuff right now, to be taking in stuff with even, well, even more power. It's like think of a sponge being dipped into this pail of water, but then it just it in even better, and you're just taking in then what has value and what's going to work for you, and it's even better. Yeah, try to keep your eyes open. Let's see how long that works for. Yeah, see how long let's go. One, two, what number can I get to before your eyes can't open any longer? And try them and realize they can't. And then when you notice shifts in energy and light and shadow, so much starts going on, yep, from inside. And there's a spot that I'm focusing on right there through chest. I'm going to touch it and things will shift. You'll feel that. And there it is. Yay, there it is. Perfect. That's it. Perfect. Yep. No bones. Try to lift your head because you can't. Yep. Or your shoulders or your waist or anything else. Nothing can lift. You can only melt. As you melt, you absorb. We're going into the bucket like a sponge, absorbing light, clarity, peace, power, interest, creativity, and just the right stuff for you, Dad, and the girls. Just the right stuff. And then up and way. I don't know why guys have to do this stupid thing with people's hair, but I just felt that compulsion to fight it. Pull the hair off your face, and when you're ready, eyes can open. Yes. And so I'd like you to again attempt to cause the feeling of fear around finances.
I can't get it. Like, I can think about the girls, and it's not scary.
Yeah, and now think of Dad and ways that you're going to connect with him that'll be so good for him. Good for him, good for his health, good for you. And it just shows what you can do. Because what you can do is interesting. Yeah? So if we're hungry and we're exploring the city, and you say, there are so many places we could eat. And I said, yes, but there are many places that have closed. Let's go find those first. Saying, but that's not even interesting on account of the fact that I'm freaking hungry and I'd like a place I can eat. So it's not interesting unless it has value, something you can do. Now, as you think of Dad and Dad's health, you might notice something comes up that you can do.
Immediately.
There you go. And that's what's interesting. Would you like me to explain a few things you can't do?
No.
Because one of them is dentistry, and that might have value for him.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, so that's it. But do you want to know more about what you aren't able to do with dentistry?
No.
because it's not useful, but you can see what you can do. And so where there was that turmoil, that's gone, and your beautiful energy is freed in a way that is so amazing for your children, for you, and of course for your dad. So check it out. How does all of that leave you?
Really light,
Oh, that's so nice.
unburdened,
Yeah, well, you're so lovely, and it
grateful.
was such a privilege to get to be a little useful to you, dear.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, yay. Oh, my goodness. Now you went and made my day. How lovely.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's a good place to end.
Well,
What do you think?
I don't have 100 more things I'm burning to say. So, but I do say this. You're like remarkable, and anything I can do connecting with you that supports you, supports your mission, I would be so privileged to do. And I love being able to have these conversations and sending them out to people. So I'm there for you with that. I'd like to be the person that comes to mind when you don't think immediately of somebody else.
Deal.
Yeah,
And
because
think, because there's like a million things I would want to ask you about. I could have you on 100 more podcasts.
well,
And thank you for this.
I'd certainly love to do
Yeah.
that. And yeah, this would be then I guess the time to stop. You're so much fun. Thank you for this experience.
You so much.
Bye bye.
Bye.
I hope you got something out of that episode. If you like this podcast, please share it with someone you know who'd find it useful or interesting, and subscribe so that you can listen to past and upcoming shows.